Me to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. You know, it's always dangerous when I have an iPad up here with me. What's really dangerous is I can't hardly run these things without the church office staff helping me. So I guess I could have everybody who works in the church office come up here and hold that thing and make sure it works. We'll see how it goes. I think I said chapter 25. Did I? I meant 24. 24, please. I want to say if you are here for the first time, God bless you. And we just want to say as a church that would love you. We reached one time after that just a visitor to friends after that. We just want you to know that. We hope that you will sense that from us. I really mean that. In your bulletins that you were given as you came in today, you're very capable of reading those bulletins, of knowing what's in there. Please respond to those accordingly. It's good to have great fellowship and to feel like we're together in the things we do. There are things coming the next week or so that you need to know, and then following. This is a pretty hefty week again. We just came out of the resurrection time, but now we go into another wonderful time, which is Mother's Day right around the corner, and it's the largest day in the United States for as far as communication. You know, whether it's through the mail or email or phones or whatever. It seems like everybody wants to get a hold and call mom and grandma. How many know what I'm talking about? That's really special. So we're going to have a great service. And also, as we get down to the end of the month, is the Memorial Weekend. Now, that's always the day that we go squirrel hunting and we go out and looking for things in the woods and doing great things. But I just want to remind you to know what Memorial Day is really all about, and to understand the price that has been paid and in our nation. So I pray that as we draw near to these time frames that you will be blessed. I don't usually ask this, but I need someone who does need a little blessing in a little bit of God to do something in your blessing cap. I need a drink of water. And if anybody wouldn't mind bringing me a drink of water, I'd appreciate it. And even if you give it to a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you give it in the name of a pastor, you receive I'm not really sure what you'll receive, but nevertheless you'll be blessed. Thank you.
Did you mention Thursday?
I'm sorry. Oh, no, I didn't. Thursday also, I wanted to tell you that it is our National Day of Prayer. Now, that sounds nice, and it sounds like, wow, that's a great thing everybody's going to do. What about you? I would love for you to make National Day of Prayer a time of intercession before God. If you can't be here at a certain time, would you still keep praying? 12 o'clock on that day, Thursday, this coming Thursday, we are going to pray here for about an hour or a little more just together corporately, and we're going to pray for our nation, and I would like to invite you to be here. And let's keep prayer center and foremost as we gather towards that day. Would you agree with me?
Yeah.
All right. I hear a little feedback, and so if you can help me, guys, thanks. So I want to pray, and I pray that you will ask God to anoint me and help me, please. Father, I thank you for your love to me and to this body of believers. I ask that, Lord, that the anointing of God would be rich upon this service. And I ask that, Lord, that the word would be strong. I ask that also that we would come away today having felt like you have spoken again to us in a very, very wonderful way. I honor you, and Lord, I give you praise for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, for these are things we ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. In Matthew chapter 25, I'd like to read beginning, or I said 25, 24 actually. Thanks. Please, will you just follow this with me beginning in verse 32? Now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branches are yet tender and put forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So likewise ye, when you shall see these things, see what? You see a fig tree that is now coming out of winter, spring and winter, and is now preparing to give all of its sap, its strength, to the leaves and to the fruit for summer. So likewise, when you see these things, listen to this, comma, know that it is near. It is even at the doors. Verily I say to you, this generation it'll not pass till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass, but not my words will pass away, Jesus said. It's obvious to me that Jesus is referring to the verses 29 through 31, where he talks about after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. He goes to verse 30 and says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heavens. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they that will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. So it's obvious that these verses that I read for my text, he's referring to that. He's referring that like as a tree, a fig tree would begin to prepare itself. And now you could say, well, summer is right around the corner because look at the leaves and the buds are coming out and the fruit are beginning to open or to come to where you can see the fruit. That's what he's saying. And yet I want to take and liken this to a little bit more. And it's going to be down in the beginning in about verse 42. I have been thinking this and feeling this for some time now. I haven't preached on it, and I haven't told too many people what I think, but I've been thinking and sensing in my spirit that there are things coming. And I'm sensing that there are things happening around us all the time. And, you know, it's not something that happened just, wow, just to kind of take our place, you know, just to change a few of our attitudes. There are major things that are taking place. I think this morning, what a privileged generation that we are. A privileged generation that we are watching the setup of the end of the church age. We're watching the setup of things that are about to come. The Bible has foretold that we are unfolding and is beginning to bring trends to our light that are going to probably precede tribulation that the Bible speaks of. In fact, the scripture says that many things will happen and they're going to take center stage as incidents or as things just prior leading up to maybe even the catching away of the Lord, of course. My thoughts this morning are not so much to talk about the Lord's return and the catching up or what you may call the rapture, but I have a strong, strong feeling and a suspicion of things that are beginning to happen. Let me read a little bit further in verse 42. These are the words of Jesus. He says, watch. Oh, by the way, may I say something? Pastor Warren is so wonderful to have done this. I called him yesterday and I said, Pastor, be ready to preach on Sunday. I said, would you please? He's never told me no. And I said, I'm not sure. I'm going to tell you in a moment why I called him. But he said, I will prepare myself. When I got here this morning, he said, I'm ready to go. And I said, I think I am too. And so I said, I'll get out of your way if you want me to. He said, no, okay, you go ahead. So just because he's ready to go, and I didn't use him this morning, Pastor, and all of these witnesses, I'd like for you to minister real soon in the next couple of weeks. So everybody will be back to hear this. Verse 42, I'd like to read this. It says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. 45. Who, when a faithful man or a wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant when the Lord, whom his Lord, when he comes, will find so doing. Verily, I say to you, anytime you hear Jesus say, verily, I say to you, you need to take great caution and know what you're reading. Jesus says, verily I say to you, that he shall make him ruler over his goods. But and if that evil servant will say to his Lord, my Lord delays his coming, and begins to smite fellow servants, and begin to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come at a day when he does not look for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And the Lord says in 51, he will be cut asunder, literally, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'd like to share some thoughts with you, and I want to use this scripture. But if you would just quickly notice these couple thoughts. In verse 33, it says this. It says, so likewise ye, when you shall see these things. Look what the word see is with your eye. When you will see these things, all of these things, it says that we are to know at that point that something is very near. It's very near, even at the door. When I look at the idea of seeing this morning, that means that I have a sincere singleness of vision. It means the ability also to understand, oh, I see. It means that my sight is being stirred and I begin to have feelings where I'm sensing and seeing something that I could never and never seen before. I'd like to say that I think today that there are some things that are taking place that are amazing. And I believe we ought to start looking with 3D and in a 2020 sense, because there are things that are pretty powerful that are approaching us. I'd like to take you back 2 weeks. And 2 weeks ago, Don and I had the privilege, the church allowed us to go to the pastor's conference for Washington and the top half of the panhandle of Idaho. And we went to the conference. And I'm going to be really transparent about some of this that I probably don't have to, but I want to tell you. I went to this conference, and the last several years I had not gone. Prior to that, I don't know if you think pastors are all so perfect that we never have problems, but prior to that, I had kind of taken an approach that I'm not really sure. I don't know. I don't hardly know anybody in the Northwest. I don't have that many friends in the Northwest, like where I came from, I knew everybody. And I came and I felt like, Lord, it's just a very sad thing for me. So I began to abstain and pull myself back. And I found myself not going to all of the major conferences and things that were afforded me and to others. Hundreds of pastors, of course. And it's really possible that you can be angry with me, and that's okay. And I said, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. A little over a year ago, I knew God was convicting me. And I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I can't live this way. I've never been that way. I've never been that way. I go to everything. I knew everybody. I was part of everything. I was at every meeting I could. And I said, it bothers me because I just feel like I don't have friends and nobody cares. Have you ever felt like that? Okay. Ever felt like that? Yeah. And so I said, God, I'm struggling. So I went to the overseer of the panhandle of Idaho. And I called him on the phone and then I went to him. And I submitted myself to him and I said, listen, I said, I've pastored for decades. I know Lord's things of the Lord. And again, I've never been this way. But I said, I see and I sense in my mind, in my heart, I've seen some things that I know I can't be this way. And there's no justification in being this way. I just can't do that, no matter what others have done or may say. And That was really a reconciliation that was healed. It's marvelous. I've been going to every meeting since. That's just the way I lived. And I'm telling you this to say to you, I went to the annual meeting for all the pastors in the Northwest, from the ocean to here. And I went on Monday, and Donna and I went in, and we sat down by a pastor friend and I that him and I grew up not totally together, but he and his wife went to the same high school I did. We know each other, so we've been friends a long, long time. And we sat down together, and I was just like, Lord, I feel like I'm here because you want to do something in me. I'm here. And so the district superintendent, which is the pastor for all of our pastors, he took the podium, and he said, I'd like to speak to you about a subject. And he told the subject. And all of a sudden, I said, whoa. I said, what about that subject? Because I think I know all about that subject and all there is to know about it. I learned by the time he was finished that I didn't. And I discovered that he began to speak on not Christianity, but upon discipleship to Christ. And it really challenged my heart, church. It moved me because I realized that discipleship is a powerful, powerful thing. And the more I began to listen to him, the more I began to recognize that God is really doing something wonderful in our hearts if we would only listen. He made the statement, he said this, that only 3 times in the Bible is the word Christianity mentioned, but about 200 and I think it was 59 or 79 times is the word disciple or discipleship is mentioned. That caught my attention. And he began to share with us as pastors, he said, you know, we always think of Jesus as the crowd builder. And we think that Jesus was the one that he just was always excited about the huge crowds. Well, he was, and he enjoyed the crowds. He ministered to everyone that he could. But there was something else about Jesus that I want to tell you as I start, that I think you need to see, much like the fig tree. When you see the fig tree beginning to grow, and to begin to sprout, and you see the softness begin to come out on the fruit and the leaves, you can say summer is just about here. It's about to come. I want to tell you, you and I need to see and understand this morning that there's something else. It may go along with where we were this morning also, is that God is maybe telling us that there's more than just a crowd get together, that God is calling us to recognize the true ministry of discipleship. I began to personally listen deeper, and I began to hear this pastor say, he said, you think about Jesus, and he met the masses, he served them, but he really sought also the one. Hold up one finger. He sought the one. Isn't that amazing? And it began to touch me. That's what the Lord has done for me in the last several years, is he began to seek out me, the solitary, the one. Sometimes the person who felt like, Lord, I don't know if I really fit up here in the Northwest. I hardly know anybody, don't hardly know anything. You know what? Everybody went to Northwest University and spent all 4 years, and they're all buddies, and they know everything about each other. That isn't me. And I felt like God began to speak to me and say, just, I am the God of one. And as he spoke to me, this pastor began to verify this, Pastor Ross. And I began to look at scriptures that God is the God of one. He found the woman at the well. And what did he do? He worked and ministered into her life and spoke her life to her. And she went back and the entire city retreated to Jesus to know him. But it started with the one. Isn't that amazing? You think about Zacchaeus in the tree. It was the one. Come down, I'll go to your house today. And Jesus boasted literally, and he said, salvation has come to this house. Why? Because of what one has done. I continued just to look. I looked at the paraplegic that was lowered just to Jesus. I look at Peter's mother-in-law. The Bible says Jesus came into the house of Peter, and he came in the front door, and there were people excited to see Jesus. They're waiting for him. They're holding on his words. They're hanging on every word the Lord would say. And what did Jesus do? He ignored all of that, and he looked over, and he saw Peter's mother-in-law. And he said, you're sick. And the Bible says he went over and he laid his hands upon her because she had a great fever. And she was what? Healed. He went to the one. And I think about the one, and I think about how the woman in adultery, it all boiled down to the one. It boiled down to the one at Nicodemus in the middle of the night when Jesus was waiting. And it's like, oh, here he comes. I'm being funny or facetious on that. But here is Nicodemus, and Jesus spent his evening or late hours to be able to share with the heart of Nicodemus the area of discipleship. Pastor Ross went on in his message that evening, and he says, because he lives in Snohomish, I think that area, North Seattle, And he says, you know, I have felt a real desire to touch people, because he says, I'm with church people all day. I'm in churches all day and all the time. I go down to a coffee shop, and he says, I will go in and I sit at the coffee shop and I'll just sit there with a cup of coffee and I'll start doing some things. And he says, all of a sudden, one day, a guy came into the coffee shop and he came in loud and obnoxious, and he came in just like, rah! And he says, it really caught my attention. And all of a sudden, what did he do? He pointed his eyes towards Pastor Ross. And he thought, I want to go. And he goes over and he sits down by Pastor Ross. And he said, may I just sit here with you? Well, what could Pastor Ross do? Pastor Ross tells the whole story of how he would go to the coffee shop sometimes every other morning or whatever it was. And this guy, morning after morning, would come in. He wasn't a bad person, per se, that way. But he was just loud, obnoxious, and it's just his way. And finally, the Lord spoke to Pastor Ross and said, you know what? Maybe you should be discipling this guy and beginning to help him know Christ and to understand Christ and to know what Christ is all about. Don't just let him come in and go out and you guys talk about fishing because you love fishing. Begin to disciple him. And he did. The thing was amazing in that service, he showed a picture on the screens of two people, and one of them was that guy, because he was willing for his picture to be taken now so Pastor Ross could show the pastor's convention. I'm telling you, God wants us to go beyond ourselves. I think he wants us to take our Christianity. Do you know what? I've been saved since 1970. Do you know how long that is? That is 53 years. And the question is, you know what? Maybe there's an issue in some of us that we don't necessarily witness. Okay, I agree with that. But what about discipling? What about taking that person and mentoring them and beginning to say, you know what? Let's just spend a little time here and spend a little time here. Let me answer your questions. May I encourage you? Can I pray for you? Can you imagine how far that might go? Think about if one would go to another, it's two. And if two would go to another, that's four. And by the time you get down to 30 days' time, it could be in the untold millions. Just by the dynamics of multiplication. I have felt like the Lord is stirring my heart. And I feel he's stirring my heart. And when he stirs my heart, he might be stirring your heart. I know Pastor Cameron has felt to take and to start his class again with discipleship. And to work with all the 20, 30, 40-somethings and help them to understand what it is to pastor. Isn't that right, Cameron? Him and I talked about this just last Wednesday, I think it was, and I hadn't even been home but just a week and a half. So God was already stirring him for what was stirring me. I don't know if a message like this deserves a round of applause. But what it does deserve is action. Let's look at it this way. Instead of holding territory, maybe it means we're going to take territory. How about that? Have you ever heard that before? And I'm sincere. Pastor Ross, he said this. He says, I want you to begin to think. He says, stop, every one of you. I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of pastors and their wives were there. He says, stop. He come out in front of the podium and he says, listen to me. He says, I want you right now to stop and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, what God is saying to you. And don't lie to yourself and don't just say it was because what you had for lunch. Listen to what God is going to say to you. And listen if God will tell you of even one to begin to disciple. I thought to myself, how ironic. I pastor a church full of people. How can I disciple all of them at one time? And then God spoke. He said, that's not what I said. He says, I want you to choose one person. And Lynn, I want you to disciple them. And he said that to all of everybody. And so I was so appreciative that Superintendent Pastor Ross stopped that. And he said, now all of you, when you're finished in a few moments, I'll proceed forward, but not until. Do you know what's interesting is that God laid someone that evening session upon my heart in Coeur d'Alene and laid that individual on my heart. And from that moment until now, I know exactly who it is and who he laid on my heart. And nobody else has gotten in the way. Nothing else. Amen. Because I know what he told me to do. Wouldn't that be something if God did that? Think about that. Stop a minute. I don't pretend to be Pastor Ross making you do this. But wouldn't that be something if the Holy Spirit was speaking and saying, I would like you to try that with this guy. You know that dear lady? I'd like you to mentor her, ma'am. Wouldn't that be something if God was speaking that to us? What would you do with that? Would you obey? I pray that you will. The area of discipleship is an amazing thing, and I believe that there are people. Here's what I see happening to our church, is we have a wonderful door in the front, and it opens. I'm glad for that. And people come into our doors, come into the front doors. But may I tell you what happens? Here's what happens with the lack of discipleship in our church, is that they come in and they stay for a little while, and then they go out that door. Do you know why? Because they weren't discipled. No one was able to truly meet their need or explain the Word of God to them or to embrace them and to say, I want to be your buddy. I'll be a friend. Come on, we'll grow in Christ together. And we're there for the needs that they represent. Isn't that true? And I think to myself, I've told Donna this. I said, Donna, it's crazy. We got this amazing front door, and I'm a front door pastor, but we can't lock the back door and make anybody and everybody stay. In the length of time that I've been here, if the back doors would have been locked, you would have called the police on your 911, I know. But nevertheless, if we could close them doors, this church would be running 3, 4, 5 services every Sunday. Pastor, we hired you to do that. No, you didn't. Jesus has employed you to do that. Amen. And let's be honest about it. I think we should have t-shirts that say, in front door, back door's closed. And when they ask you about it, say, what do you mean your back door's closed? Say, let me tell you all about it. Here's what we do at our church. Nobody gets away from Jesus. Amen? This blessed me so much because he asked us to consider what the Holy Spirit's revealing. And as he did to me personally, I know that he now has laid that individual on my heart to actually try to mentor and disciple and to reach towards them. Something else happened that day or in this convention I want to tell you about. And that is that he had another guest speaker that I have known for now probably about 15 years or more, 16. Sean Smith, he's out of Northern California. Sean is an amazing brother, evangelist. And I enjoy getting to say hi to him because I've had him at our church about 4 or 5 times when I was in Arizona and once in Medical Lake. Sean is a tremendous preacher. But do you know what Sean did to me? He turned me inside out. And Sean began to speak. He said, you know what? He said this, you can trust the Holy Spirit with your church and trust the Holy Spirit with your future. And I thought, Lord, can I really trust the Holy Spirit with the church I pastor? And can I trust you even with my own future? Some of that is suspect to me. Can I trust him with these things? And God began to reveal to me that I can. Beloved, I believe God can. We can trust him with this church. We can trust him with what God's going to do in us and through us and with us. We can trust him with the things that are coming outside. Back to the fig tree. When you see with your eyes that the fig tree is changing, and God is, or the natural part of process is that the sap is coming and the leaves are tender and the fruit is coming out and all the leaves, so beautiful, summer is near. I think that God is saying to us, know that I can do this too. See it with your eyes. See it and know it. Recognize that I'm the God that can do this. I believe he can. Do you? Your future. Have any of you had your future in question? Are you concerned about your future? When Sean Smith was speaking this, I realized, Lord, I think I have my future together and what's happening, but I realized too that I don't have control over it. And I need to trust him with my future because he is faithful, and I believe that, don't you? Then he said the third thing, and get ready because you need to hear it. And I want you to understand this. But he said this as an evangelist to us. He said, I want to remind you that in everything, in our labors and all that we do in the church that we serve and the ministry that we serve, that we have to persevere and we have to live fully biblically in the truths of the Holy Spirit and the power of Pentecost. And I'm thinking to myself, that is true. Listen, you have no idea. Darkness is in our face now. I don't know if you realize this, but darkness is in the face of the believer. It's in the face of Christianity. It's in the face of all that would name the name of Christ. It is no longer under wrap. It's no longer hiding. It is right where it wants to be. How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope you never watched the Grammys. But the Grammys that just took place like a month and a half ago, I don't know if you recognize it or not. Smith, I think, is the guy's name. But nevertheless, he comes out dressed in red, dancing. All of the dancers are in red. I think the lights make him look completely red. And he has horns on his hat. And he is dancing in a lewd, sexual, perverted way before the entire Grammy. And there he's declaring, what are they declaring? As the Hollywood specials, as the Hollywood actors and actresses of America, those that we esteem higher than any other. What are they saying? They're saying, we're telling you where it's really at today, and that the devil is really the Lord. Now that's quiet. And if you don't believe that's enough in our face, what was the last Super Bowl? 2 or 3? At halftime? Can you even leave halftime and leave your television on not knowing what's going to happen next on the perversion that comes through the halftime show? You know what amazed me? The Commonwealth Games in Europe. The Commonwealth Games that just took place not too long ago. Do you know what they did? And I've mentioned this, but I want to say it here. They brought a giant bull in that was made out of iron. It was like from that end of our sanctuary or building to this end of our building, and is about as high as our building, literally. And they brought it in, and it's moving on wheels. Its legs are moving with it, and it's a giant bull right out of Revelation 17 with its horns. And it brings it in, and smoke just the fumes of smoke, whatever, comes out its nose. And they plant it in the middle of this huge track where the Commonwealth Games, I think it's 50 or 70 nations are going to be. They were there represented that day. The elite of the Euro was there that day. And they're sitting here and they're watching this bull come out. It is motorized and it stops. And pretty soon the people are cheering. And the dancers are all the way around this thing. And they're dancing. And they're beginning to dance. And they take and they put their fingers up. And they go like this. And they're dancing just like, what do you think that means? Do you think that means hook 'em frogs or something? Or do you think it means like, you know, the University of Texas Longhorns? I don't think so. And they're dancing with their fingers. And they're all these hundreds of dancers, colorful dancers. Finally, a woman, scantily dressed, she climbs the side of this beast, and she climbs clear to the top of the beast, and she sits on this beast. Do you ever read Revelation 17 where it talks about a woman in scarlet? She rides on this amazing beast. I don't know if you know this or not, how close we are. What do your eyes see? What are your eyes paying attention to today? What are your eyes watching? Do you have any idea the things that are coming upon the earth? Wow, these are things telling me we need to get our house in order. We need to get our lives in order. Because I think that we are beginning to move and preparing ourselves to come to the very inception moments of tribulation that's not far off. I don't know if you know this or not, but in Europe, in Sweden, I've actually forgotten what the name of it was. I think I have it here. Pardon? Yeah, let me make sure I got my name right here. The Gothard Tunnel. Anybody heard of the Gothard Tunnel? It's amazing. The Gothard Tunnel. There was a ceremony in 2016, and these that were attended by Euros and Europe's powerful leaders. The opening ceremony was a dark, disturbing, and weirdly satanic ritual. The Gothard Tunnel, listen to this, is the world's longest tunnel project in history. It goes through the Swiss Alps. It took 17 years to complete. It is considered the symbol of European unification. But does this require? What does it have to do with the devil? During the 8-hour ceremony, eventually a goat man or a Baphomet appeared, and he stole the show, and the people bowed down to him once again at the end of the long ceremony, and now he's been known as the goat man declared, and he's also known, quote unquote, as the king of the world. This too was televised to the world. Pastor, what are you saying to us? I'm saying today is the day that we have to believe in our God. And when Sean Smith preached in the ministry of all the pastors 2 weeks ago, and I was there, he said, listen, you guys can do a lot of stuff, and they're all good stuff, and it's good stuff in the church. But if you're not embraced to the power of the Holy Spirit, it will not survive itself. We are in a generation today that the darkness is in our face, and we have to begin to rise up with the power of the Spirit in ours, like the winds to a sail, and believe that God is going to do great and powerful things. Amen. So I came away from this conference, I'm going, Lord, I'm not really sure how good of a discipler I really am. I mean, I can keep a church. I can pastor a church. I can handle budgets. I can take care of this. I love on people. I do a lot of stuff. But discipleship? And the Lord said, you do it and encourage your church to do it. And even if they don't know how to do it, just mentor and love people. I said, okay, we can do that. And then Sean Smith comes along and he says, you know what? God's got your future, and he's taking care of you. And not only that, but if you will trust in the plan that he's given you, the blueprint is Pentecost. When you have found Christ as Savior, you now embrace the Holy Spirit living in you to empower you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? Church, we have to not only believe it, we have to practice it. We cannot just say, yes, we hold this ground, but we have to now go out and let that ground go forth in people's lives. Amen? I have a lot to say, and I can't say it too, because I got so much. I'm going to quit here in a few moments, maybe. So I'm standing in a sea of pastors. My heart's really been challenged. I'm being stirred. I'm just like, God, you're speaking to me. I probably shouldn't have said any of this to you, but I did. And I'm just being challenged. And finally, Pastor Ross again, he says, you know what you need to do? You need to pray for one another. The prayer card. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. How many's going to pray for a pastor? Raise your left hand. See, only three or four of you. Raise your right hand. Oh, there's more righties than lefties in here. You know what, though? All of a sudden, he says, but here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to write your name on this little card. And we had all been given these cards when we came into the service. It says, month of prayer as a partner. Please put your contact information on the back of this prayer card. And when the Northwest Conference of the Assemblies of God, trade this card with someone you meet. Yeah, right. In doing so, you're making a 12-month commitment to pray for them each week, once a week, and connect with them via a text or by phone call, whichever. So I took this card and I'm looking at it. I'm going, wow. So here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at an empty card. I'm thinking, yeah, right. You want, I'm going to take and go up to somebody and go, hi, I'm Pastor Lynn Peters from the Assembly of God in St. Mary's, Idaho. You don't know where Idaho is. Idaho is over this side of Spokane. And I want to pray for you. I'll pray for you once a week. And I'm just thinking, yeah, that really fits, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden, something most amazing thing happened to me. Remember I told you from the beginning that I was struggling about a couple years ago, two, 3 years ago, struggling like I didn't fit in the Northwest, didn't fit around the assemblies from Seattle to over here, don't know anybody in Seattle. I'm just struggling big time. The most amazing thing in the world happened to me. I'm standing in this sea of pastors. Sean Smith had just preached. And all of a sudden, this man comes up to me and he stands about this far from me. And he looks at me and he does this. And I think he's giving me his name so he can come over to St. Mary's and maybe preach for me. And I'm saying, oh, I said, that's great. I'd love to have you come preach. I can get to you on this, right? He looks at me and he goes, shows me the backsides of the prayer card. He says, no. He says, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for you every week. And this is the original card. And I'm not going to tell you his name. But he put his name on it. He put his email and his phone number. The words say, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians 6:18. And he smiled at me. And he said, Lynn, I want to pray for you. This doesn't mean a lot to you yet. But what happened was, you had to know who he was. And he was one of the district officials out of Seattle. That's over the entire, 300-400 churches and all that. And he says, I'm going to pray once a week for you. And this is the commitment I'm making before God. And I thought, really? And I began to realize that with all that I had felt prior, how wrong I was to even withdraw and pull myself back and not be part for that season. God was showing me that he's got it, and he's got it all taken care of. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Hey, look in front of where you're sitting. I don't have a card for you because I just didn't get it ready, but I wanted to do it now. Do you see a tithe envelope there or a visitor card? How many say I do? Take one, please. Now, this is not a trick. I'm not going to make you put money in a prayer envelope or a tithe envelope. But take one. Take one. Just reach up. Just whatever's there close, take it. The back of our tithe envelope is just all is where you could write on. You know what I'd like to ask you to consider today is that you would take and you would write your name, just like this pastor did, this minister. He wrote his name, then he gave me an email, and then he gave me a phone number. would you take and write your name on there? And would you give you, how would you like, if you say you wanted to give it to me, how would you like me to contact you and say, thank you for praying for me? Or I would know that I can call and say, hey, I need this prayer, my family or something. But put your name, put an email, and then take and put a phone number. You're doing about like what I was doing. This was going way over my head when they were talking about it. I'm like going, phew. But when this man came up to me and did this, God was showing me that he's got all things under control in my life and that he's working on my behalf because he loves me. Do you hear that? And he does you too. Write your name down on there. At the end of the service, you know what I'd like you to do? If you feel comfortable today, I'd like you to go to someone. I'm just going to use Ryan and just say, Ryan, you know what? I feel like I should pray for you once a week for a year. I'll do my best here. My information's on the back. Okay. Love you.
Oh, you do.
Amen. Would you consider doing that? And watch what God will do. The Lord's faithful, is he not? Yeah. So I saw, like the fig tree, when Jesus is saying, when it is maturing, know that the end is coming and my coming is so near. I have been watching in the last 2 weeks at some of these things in my life, and I began to recognize by seeing what God was doing around me and in me, that he's doing some amazing things in me. And he will in you. Do you believe that? So I'd like to close with this. Thursday, I got a phone call, and this phone call came from the West Side, Washington, where I grew up. And the phone call that came was from a loved one of mine, and they said to me, they said, Lynn, they said, I just called to tell you that so-and-so is in the hospital at Capital Medical Center in Olympia, Washington. I said, oh, they're in ICU. I said, oh, I love this person. I've known them their whole life. And I discussed it for a little bit, and then I hung up, and I thought, I have to pray for them. So the girls in the office got me Capital Medical Center. And I called, and it was so interesting because the ICU at that hospital didn't even interrogate me with a lot of questions. And they just said, yeah. And they sent me right into her room. It's amazing. I encouraged her. She was able just with weakness to talk to me. I encouraged her. I was able to talk a little bit more. And then I said, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Will you pray with me? She said, I will, I will. So I started praying for her. Her name is Heather. And I started praying for Heather. When I was done, she thanked me. She said, thank you, Uncle Lynn. Thank you so much. I said, Heather, I love you. Don and I, we love you so much. Anything you ever need, anything we can ever do for you, you let us know. That was Thursday. The next day after Thursday is Friday. Say Friday.
Friday.
The next day, I get a phone call. And the next phone call is, Lynn, Heather has asked, would you and Donna consider coming and getting her and taking her home with you? Well, it caught my attention. And in the middle of all of that, the Lord began to show me. He began to show me, like, do you remember that card I gave you through this pastor? I think I was telling you how much I love you. Remember that? Do you remember the first night at that conference? And I spoke to your heart, and I dealt with your, and I showed you again what I want of you. You could hear you, and you heard me. And I'm kind of like, yes, yes. And so I said, okay. So to make the story real short, I called Capital Medical Center in Olympia, Washington again, and I said, Heather, I said, well, I'll come. Don and I will pick you up tomorrow. Are you willing to come? She said, yes. I'd like to come. I said, we'll be there early to mid-afternoon. We drove 818 miles yesterday from here to Olympia and Olympia back home last night. And the reason I'm telling you this is to tell you something, is that Jesus is not about the crowds always. He's about the one. I'm a crowd guy. I've always been crowd-oriented. I've always been group-oriented church-wise. But the Lord has shown me I do powerful things in ones. If you will just take and through me, and you touch the one, I will do powerful things. You may touch the one that will do the things you never could do. And God's shown me that. I won't stop the crowds, but I'm just telling you, the Lord has shown me a whole new vision. The tree is budding. The fig tree is beginning to blossom. The leaves are coming out. And I can tell as Jesus is saying, that's an indicator that if I'm coming again, he says, let it be an indicator that I'm also going to do these things in and through your life because you can see it happening around you. And so when I said yes, God began to move. And we drove all the way. There's nothing about us. There's not us in here at all, me and Donna. But we went. We walked into the ICU or into her room. She was ready to go. We were out of the hospital, I kid you not, in like 8 minutes. And we had her in the car. And we are taking her home. She's a beautiful 44-year-old niece to me. She has 4 lovely children. And she has need in her life today that's off the charts. And you know what? That is exactly what's going on outside here right now. There are things off the charts, and we can't hide anymore from it. I love what God has done to confirm to me. We cannot continue to just hold the ground, hold the fort. Where's the white flag? I need another one. No. The day is upon us to go forth and to watch what God is going to do. I told Donna to stay home today. We might find a few things here and there. You might miss us here and there, mostly Donna. But to help her, to encourage her, to bless her, she came with like just a little box and a little bitty suitcase. She's going to need clothing. But we are determined because I told her in Capital Medical Center, I said, Heather, we have got a gorgeous bedroom for you, just for you. And she took me up on it. You better watch what you say. You're liable to have to fulfill it. Amen? I love you all. It's kind of an unorthodox sermon today. I didn't just get in the word all the way through and quit. Some of it was about me, things I've experienced in the last 2 weeks. But I want to tell you something. This is a great day to serve God with all our hearts. Amen. He's about the one. So, you might take that little whatever, and you've written on it, and you say, it's not orthodox, but here's name, phone number, here's my email. I'm going to pray for you starting tomorrow, once a week. And I think as we do this, God will do great things in us. I think so. You know what? It's so humbled me to think that this man, because he's a district official and been in the district office for maybe 2 decades, I don't know. It humbled me so much that several times I have felt like crying. That almost I felt like my knees were going to buckle. That God knew where the sparrows were. Therefore, he knew where I was. And he knows where you are. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I thank you. I thank you because I felt in my heart I should go this direction. All I can ask is that you touch people, love on the people. This is a great church. Lord, you said in your word, you said very clearly that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Therefore, take our simplicity, take our ability and lack of ability, mind you, to disciple, to mentor. Take our care for people that we never thought we would ever want to care for. Take our big mouth sometimes that says things and then we're in over our heads, but Lord, you're going to bless it anyway. God, take all the things that we do and say, and God, use us in this generation. Lord, I have no doubt that Satan wants to absolutely destroy people. Send them into an eternity without you. May we, oh God, begin to see a tremendous stirring because we're willing to step out of our comfort zones and be used of God. I love you, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for Heather this morning before I close with all of these people agreeing with me. Lord, we love Heather, and we're asking you to bless Heather. And Lord, this and these areas of her life that has just kind of just all amalgamated and come to this one place at this time, Lord, she couldn't go another place. It was even spoken to me that possible that she could have passed away this week. But God, you have spared her life. You're doing a marvelous work in Heather. And I believe you're going to put a smile on her face and strengthen her body. And you're going to put hope back where she has no hope. And God, not only will you do it to Heather, but multiply that to all of us that want to see it in others. I love you today. I give you thanks and I give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you stand with